Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 139, stanzas 1 through 4. And the mighty God, the Lord, has spoken unto all, from rising to the setting sun, the nations hear his call. 1 through 4 of Psalter 139.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first chapter of the first epistle general of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. But first we will make a confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe an holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand in the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, once again in this afternoon hour, and thou bringest us together round about thy truth, which we may read once again, and then of that redemption from our former conversation, that tradition received from our fathers, even that which is worldly, even that which is corrupt, even that which is of this world, even that which is according to our old nature, all to be redeemed therefrom, and to be made new, to be made holy as thou art holy, a redemption for which that people will glorify thee forever and forever. O Lord, all flesh is as grass, and as the flower of the field. We are strangers, we are sojourners here below, and we are but traveling to our long home. And we beseech thee, on this Sabbath day wherein we are called to stop a moment again, to cease from all the labors of this life, which are for this life, that we may consider once again from where we are come and to where we are going. And when we may consider in this afternoon, in the way of thy providence, the resurrection of thine only begotten Son, and the resurrection also of a man. Oh, look then upon us when we are gathered together, for they are matters that have to do with each and every one of us, and not one is exempt. For death that is taken hold upon each and every one of us in our father Adam, and when we are never engrafted into thy dear Son, and then we shall remain in spiritual death, and then our temporal death will be the beginning of an eternal death to be suffered apart from thee. O Lord, they are matters that not one of us is apart from. O grant us then eyes to see it. Give us ears to hear it. Give us hearts to understand it, that there may be an attention that is given unto us by thy Holy Spirit in this hour, and that they are things which would grip our souls, that we would not be able to let go, that we may go from this place a different man, woman, boy, or girl, and that we may go from this place with life from the dead, that hungers and that thirsts after things spiritual, and that the things natural may become of secondary importance. Oh, look then upon us, for there is none, and there is none from our own side that is able to give life unto his own soul, or to his children, to his wife, to her husband. Oh, thou alone art able to grant it, Lord. Therefore we beseech it of thee once again, and wilt thou do it for the sake of thy own great and holy name. Oh, could it please thee to be the purpose of thy calling and sending us even unto this flock, that many may be born in Zion, and that thy church may be built up in the midst of this world, and that thy name may be worshipped once again, and where it was not worshipped before. O Lord, thou hast an almighty arm, and thy voice that is powerful. O thy voice that is so full of majesty, and thou speakest through thy servants, whom thou dost send in this world. Thou speakest through thine own word, that they are called to bring. O Lord, do it then, that we may be given to experience it also in this very day, that there may be new ones born in Zion, and that hell may be robbed of her subjects, and that the devil may be put away in his power, and that power that we hope to hear and speak of in this afternoon, and that it may receive the preeminence. O Lord, show thy power. Give it to be experienced by young and old alike. And when we have for all our life sat under thy truth and never known that power in our soul, oh, could it please thee to give us to experience it in this day, that we may not be able to let thee go with thy servant, except that thou dost bless us. Oh, look thou upon thy whole church, wherever that they may be over the length and breadth of the world. Lord, increase their number. Bring thy word to the ends of the earth, and that from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west, they may be brought to come in to sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in that kingdom of heaven. And wilt thou cause us and our children not to be left behind in that great day of days, to whom that word has come, and for whom the stripes would be increased, multiplied so greatly, and with all of our natural knowledge, and when our conscience shall know the truth, and when we will chastise ourselves because we have wasted away our time, and because we have never bowed, but there shall be no desire in that place anymore, but it shall be enmity, and that shall be burning in our heart as we do experience the wrath of God poured out. O Lord, wilt thou prevent that it would be the portion of any one of us and our dear children, but that thy word may be as a two-edged sword, piercing the hearts in this day, and that we may be delivered, and that we may be redeemed by thy only begotten Son from the power of sin and Satan in this world, to be delivered unto the highest good. Wilt thou look on all those that are afflicted, supply for all that are in distress of mind or of body. Be with all children that have special needs, and all those that are in hospitals and institutions of mercy and nursing homes, those that lie in the prisons. Lord, be with all that suffer warfare in the midst of this world, wherein there is mourning for the losses of their loved ones. Thou knowest all that is taking place in the midst of this world. Oh, that thou would cause thy truth to prosper, and the kingdom of Satan to be destroyed, and that many in this New Testament time, when thy word is no longer in the bud, but is in the open flower, oh, that it may be brought to all the nations of this world, and that they may be given in multitudes to come, and that thy house may be full. Lord, remember to that end those that labor on mission fields, those who labor among in those places where thy word has never been brought, where there is great ignorance. And could it please thee to bring thy word once again to those places where it was before, even as we can read in thy word how that the churches of Asia Minor, that thy word was brought in those places, but it is so little anymore to be found when the candlestick has been taken away. Oh, that thou would return, O Lord, and wilt thou spare us also, and our children, from working out our own destruction, bringing upon ourselves thy judgments. Lord, remember all those that bring thy word. Remember the vacant congregations. Remember consistory members, and all those that do lead in the services. Wilt thou give strength for the day? Bless the labors in the midst of the congregations. And wilt thou remember also our brother elder, that does labor also in this day in bringing thy word. Wilt thou give him the endowment of thy spirit from above, to be able to speak in all liveliness and simplicity. And Lord, that thou may go before all those that labor in the midst of thy kingdom, that thy kingdom indeed may come amongst Jew and Gentile. Wilt thou look upon us also as nations and as peoples? Remember those that rule and reign over us. O Lord, turn us again. O bring us again out of the midst of our sin, and that thy word may be brought in the places of authority in this world. Be with us too. Remember us in this afternoon hour. Oh, that thy word may be burning in our heart. Oh, that thy word may go forth with power by thy Spirit, and that thou may cause it to have place in the heart of each and every one of us, forgiving all our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 29, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and on thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high, do thou my soul defend. All stanzas of Psalter 29. Congregation, we ask your attention this afternoon for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 17. Question and answer number 45. Lord's Day 17, question and answer number 45. What doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? Answer, first, that by his resurrection he has overcome death, that he might make us partakers of that righteousness which he hath purchased for us by his death. Secondly, we are also by his power raised up to a new life. And lastly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. So far, our Lord's Day. What the church receives by the resurrection of Christ. First, the right to life. First, by his resurrection, he has overcome death, that he might make us partakers of that righteousness which he hath purchased for us by his death. Second, the beginning of life. We are also by his power raised up to a new life. And last, the continuation of life. The resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. Thus, what the church receives by the resurrection of Christ, first, the right to life. Second, the beginning of life. And third, the continuation of life. What congregation is more awful than death? There is nothing that is more feared by mankind. It is called the last enemy. And an enemy is one who fights. Thus, the last enemy. So we have the great struggle of mankind. The great struggle of mankind for his own life. Man fighting for his life. That is what we are doing all our life long. That we may prevent our own death. Skin for skin. All that a man hath, he will give for his life. But that is a warfare that we cannot win. No, with everything that we try and everything that we do apply, we are never able to win that warfare. Solomon says, there is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. There is no discharge that is effective against that enemy that is seeking our life. Indeed, we are born to die. But we have not been created to die. We have been created to live. And therefore, death that is to us so unnatural, no, it did not exist before our fall. But it has come upon the world as a consequence of our sin. And now, Lord's Day 17, what is that about? It is about the resurrection of the dead. What doth the resurrection of Christ profit us. The reality of the resurrection is something that has been disputed in all ages. We know that the Sadducees said that there is no resurrection. Indeed, we know, young people, that it is a very difficult thing for us to comprehend, for our minds to imagine. When Paul was at Athens, and then he began to speak about the resurrection, then we read that some mocked. And yet it is not against reason, because the Apostle Paul, he has spoken to King Agrippa, and then he has asked him, why should it be thought a thing incredible to you? Why should it be thought a thing incredible to you that God should raise the dead? No, life that has been given in creation. Life that is also given in procreation. Why should not life be able to be given in the resurrection? What an awful pride lives in the heart of man. We would be as God, but so it now also remains. And now man is forced to feel something. He is forced to feel his own helplessness before death. And when man is forced to feel something of this helplessness, then in his great pride, then he maintains that God also is helpless when it comes to death, and that the Lord also is unable to raise the dead. Thus man cannot imagine that God has more power, more ability than he has himself. Oh, how man needs to be humbled. But who is able to humble a man but the Lord himself? First we read, by his resurrection he has overcome death. Congregation, what a thing. What a thing is the resurrection. The resurrection. That is the overcoming of the greatest enemy of mankind. That is the overpowering of that enemy against whom man finds himself so utterly helpless. The resurrection. It is the overcoming of what? It is the overcoming of death. Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The resurrection that has won that warfare. And how has that resurrection won that warfare? Death, congregation, that has a cause. And children, when we are sick, then we go to the doctor. And then the doctor is looking for what? He is looking for the cause. Because if he can find the cause of that sickness, then he can try to take away the cause. And then the sickness also shall disappear. How now has death been overcome? Well, death also has a cause. And what is the cause of death? The cause of death is sin. The wages of sin is death. Thus, when we speak about the resurrection of Christ, that is in itself the result, but also the proof that the cause of death has been taken away.
Thus our fathers, they speak about righteousness, righteousness. And you know what righteousness is, as we have defined it often before, that is to be right with the law. That is, that there is no transgression. That there is nothing for which that law is able to come against us with its curse. Thus, righteousness, that is the only deliverance that a man may have from death. Because death, that is the punishment of transgression. And when there is no transgression, then there is no punishment from a holy and a righteous God. Thus, our fathers, they speak of that righteousness which he hath purchased for us by his death. Thus, his death, that is the payment of the penalty by which righteousness has been purchased. And when righteousness has been purchased, then that law that is coming on our side, then that law is no more against us, but then that law is for us. When righteousness is on our side, then that law is not demanding our death, but it is exactly the opposite, that law that is demanding life. Because when there is no sin, then there is a right. There is a right unto life. Do this. Perfect obedience. Do this, and thou shalt live. Thus the Apostle Paul says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, that is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For whom? For whom? For all that are included in that righteousness. And therefore, our fathers, they are asking this question. What doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? You, me. It does not profit everyone. That is not, as it were, automatic. The redemption that is not a universal redemption. No, that righteousness of Christ that needs to be what, children? That needs to be applied. And here now we have one of those reasons that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. That he may make us partakers of that righteousness that he had purchased for us by his death. Congregation, it is good to go to church. That is the means of grace. It is good to read your Bible. It is good to pray. It is good to memorize the Holy Scriptures. It is good to have a form of religion. It is good to be faithful. But we need to be made a partaker. We need to be made a partaker, you and I, of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it is forever lost. By nature, we think that our own righteousness is enough. But what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, how is it with us? Does our righteousness now exceed that righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees? David, he says, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. No, he would not make mention of his own righteousness. And why not? Because if the Lord will show to us what we are, then we shall see that we are as an unclean thing, and that all our righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. Is it possible then to speak about the righteousness of man? That a man is righteous? Yes, it is. That is possible. We read that also in the Word of God. In what sense is that possible? It is possible that in a particular circumstance, in a particular case, concerning a particular thing, that a man, he is not guilty. And so we can read in God's Word that Job was not guilty of those things which he was being accused of by his former friends. And therefore, there was a sense in which Job could say that I hold fast my righteousness. And yet, that is not the righteousness by which a man is able to appear before God. Why not? Because one sin makes a person guilty. One sin makes a person worthy of an everlasting condemnation. And now what man? What man has that righteousness that is so perfect that when you go from commandment to commandment in God's holy law, there is not a thought, there is not a word, there is not a deed between the cradle and the grave that the all-knowing God is able to lay against us, that is not worthy of our eternal condemnation. Oh, then we may be righteous before men in a particular instance, but there is no man who can stand before God in his own righteousness. And therefore we need to be made partakers of that righteousness of Christ. Otherwise, we can never be delivered from what? We cannot be delivered from death as the penalty for sin. And now we say that is one of the reasons that Christ had to rise from the dead, that he might make us partakers of that righteousness that he hath purchased for us by his death. Without the application, all that Christ has done that profits us, nothing. You say, the application, that is not the work of the Lord Jesus. The application, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is true. But what do we read of the Spirit? We read that he is sent by the Father and by the Son, whom we read, the Father will send in my name, whom I will send to you from the Father. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself,
But whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. Thus, the Spirit of the Lord is receiving his commission and his sending from the Father and from the Son. Therefore, he can receive no commission when Christ remains, as it were, in that grave. No, then it is necessary also for the application that Christ, he is rising from the dead, that he may make us partakers of that righteousness that he has purchased for us by his death. Congregation, are we also now such a partaker? Are we also such a partaker of that righteousness of Christ, giving to us the right to life? Rights. Rights are important things. Very important things. Man abuses his rights. But there is also a proper concern that you and I ought to have for the protection of our rights before the Lord. We have to lose our rights. But in the midst of this world, then we should take earnest heed that our rights are being protected. Every man, every woman, every child, also the unborn children, they have a right to what? To life. And his fellow man has no right to take that life away. Is that an important right or no? He has a right to life. Where does he receive that right from? He received it from the Lord. Because it is the Lord who has given him that life. And when we have received something from the Lord, then it is our own, and it belongs unto us from him, and no one is permitted to take this away from us. It is, of course, possible that we forfeit that right. When we will slay another man, then also before the judges in this world, our very life in this world and in the society of this world, that is forfeited. We have no right to it anymore. We have given that right away. And the magistrates have a right. And the magistrates have a duty. They have a duty even to take away our life for the protection of the rest of society. Before the Lord, we have no rights. And why have we no rights before the Lord? Because of sin. We have forfeited all our rights before God. But how is it now? When a man receives by faith that righteousness which Christ has purchased for him by his death, then he has a right. Then he has a right. He has a right not only before man, but he has a right before God.
He has a right to life before the judge of heaven and of earth. Oh, how powerful. How powerful is that righteousness that Christ has purchased for his church. To give a man undeserving, to give a man a right before the Almighty Judge of heaven and of earth to live. O congregation, how blessed. How blessed is he who now lives, who has resurrected from the dead, and who has now that power to send forth his Spirit to give man, who has forfeited all his rights, to give unto a man the right to life. Did you ever receive it? Did you ever receive that right? Say, how may I know that? I have also received that right to life. We see that in our second thought. Because they received the beginning of life. What does the resurrection of Christ profit us? Secondly, we are also by his power raised up to a new life. A new life. What kind of life is that? That is a spiritual life. And there is no man that receives life without having a right to it. We lost that right in our fall. We fell dead in trespasses and in sins. Thus, the receiving of that life, that is now a proof of the right that we have been given to that life. What is it proof of? It is proof that a man has been justified in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, our fathers, they call that life a resurrection from the dead. It is a resurrection from the dead which is flowing out of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justification, that is an act of God without us. That means that it is a forensic act. It is an act that is taking place in the court. It is taking place for man, but it is outside of man. Something needs also to take place within man. That's why we read, secondly, we are also by his power raised up to a new life. We spoke about Paul, that he said to King Agrippa, why should it be a thing incredible to you that God should raise the dead? And what did Paul then continue to speak about? He spoke about his own conversion. Thus, what he experienced of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking from heaven, no longer in the grave. Or has not the resurrection of Christ been of such a great profit to the Apostle Paul, What does the resurrection of Christ profit us? Secondly, if we are also by his power raised up to a new life. By his power to a new life. No, not by the power of man. What power does a dead man have? To give unto himself a new life. That is impossible. There is no hope that a dead man can possibly have in himself. There is no hope that a dead man can possibly have in his fellow creature. You say, who then can be saved? With man it is impossible. But not with God. For with God all things are possible. Therefore our fathers, they say, by his power, according to the word of God. Congregation, where is now that people? For whom it has become impossible. In the experience of your life, who despair of life because you have no power, because you are not able to help yourself. Oh, to be raised up unto a new life, what a power. That takes. Is that now the experience of your life? What a power. Because we can have all the resolutions to do everything that is possible, but it will not last. It will not last. They are good. They ought to be. But we read of Gamaliel. He says, if this thing is from men, it will come to naught. And that is the truth. If this thing is from men, it will come to naught. All our natural resolutions, oh, how despondent then must the man become. How despondent if it should have to depend on himself when we see, know, and feel something of our deadness. But that despondence, that is not necessary. Why not? Our fathers, they say, by his power. And his power, that is what? His power that is greater than by his power, he has overcome death. That is the hope for the dead. The hope for the dead. What did the Apostle Paul say? He says, of the hope and the resurrection of the dead, am I now called into question. What do our fathers say? Secondly, by his power, we are raised up to a new life. O congregation, in whom was Bartimaeus' hope? In whom? Could he open his own eyes? In whom was his expectation? When he had to experience for so many years his helplessness in himself. Where was the hope of those 10 lepers? Where was their hope? Even in a natural way. Could they help themselves? Could any man help them? Where was the hope of Jairus for that little daughter? When death climbed into his windows. By his power, raised up to a new life. Where is now the people that accuse our denomination? Where are they? Where is now the people that accuse us of teaching, preaching a hopeless doctrine? Is that a hopeless doctrine? To declare in all honesty that man is dead in sins and in trespasses? Shall we make man believe otherwise than it truly is? As Arminius, that he has some spiritual power yet, that he is able to perform some spiritual act on behalf of himself? Shall we make man, dead man, think that he has such a power, hope that he has such a power, put his expectation in such a power from himself, only to be deceived one day in the end? Is that a hopeless doctrine that declares the resurrection, the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? To raise a man from the dead? Was Bartimaeus disappointed when he could not help himself? Were those 10 lepers disappointed? Was Jairus disappointed when death had climbed into his windows? Oh, congregation, is not this the power? Is not this the power that makes a new man? Is not this the power that changes his heart? Is not this the power that renews him, that regenerates him, that converts him? Is not this the power that gives him to believe the reality of his life? Is not this the power that gives him to know and to believe that he is lost, lost, lost? Is not this the power that gives a man to believe that he is accountable before God, that he has to die, that he has to stand in the judgment, when no man is able to make any man in this world to see his lost condition? Is not that the power that changes the affections of a man? Is not that the power that makes a man to love what before he hated and to hate what before he loved? Is not that the power that gives a man a new sorrow? Is it not the power that gives a man a new joy, new anxieties, new comforts? Is that not the power that gives a man a new will that makes him willing in the day of the Lord's power? Oh, is it not the power that makes a man voluntarily to enlist in the army? Oh, to enlist in that church militant, in that warfare against that triple-headed enemy? Oh, by his power, raised up unto a new life. Let us sing 426, 1 and 2. I love the Lord. The fount of life and grace, he hears my voice, my cry and supplication, inclines his ear, gives strength and consolation in life, in death. My heart will seek his face. 1 and 2 of 426.
our last thought, the church receives the continuation of life. And lastly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. Often we say, congregation, death that is so final. And so it is. It is final concerning our last place. Because we read, if the tree fall to the north or to the south, there it shall be. And there is no coming out of that final place anymore. But there is another sense in which our death that is not final at all. Namely, concerning our body. Because our body that certainly shall not lie in that grave forever. You go to sleep, children, in the night. And then you are quiet. And you do not realize the things that happen all around you. And then in the morning you awake. And when you will go look at the cemetery, then also man, he has died. And he is quiet for the body, not realizing all that is taking place in this world. But soon, all those bodies, they are going to come alive again. They are going to wake up. Just also as you wake up in the morning. And now our fathers, they speak about the blessed resurrection. But the resurrection shall not be blessed for everyone. In the resurrection, and then the body that is joined unto the soul again. And it is joining our soul in our long home, never to die again, but to be eternally joined together. Oh, how awful shall be the resurrection of the wicked, rising to be judged, rising to be sentenced, rising to be condemned, rising to go unto his final place of separation. No, it shall not be for everyone a blessed resurrection. And the continuation of that life, that shall not be a happy continuation for everyone. No, for in that place man shall desire to die, and shall not be able. Oh, then he will wish that his life could expire, that his body could expire, that his soul could expire. But how different it shall be for God's church. Oh, then rightly our fathers speak about the blessed resurrection. Oh, that day that they will arise, that day that they will be judged, the day that they will be acquitted, that day that they will be eternally glorified. Oh, the body merited by the Lord Jesus as well as their soul. And now the resurrection of Christ. Oh, what a profit unto that people. Our fathers, they speak about it, a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. And what is a pledge? That is a sign. That is a token. When do we give someone a pledge? We give them a pledge when we have promised them something, but we can't give it to them yet. And thus, we give them something in its place. that may remind them and us of our promise, a pledge, until that benefit may be bestowed. A pledge for what? A pledge for the certainty. A pledge for the assurance of it. That people may look for. That they may long. That they may receive that benefit. And thus we have the pledge. In the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. What do we read of it? That he is the first fruits of them that slept. The first fruits. That means that when there is a first fruit, there is also a second fruit. There is also a third fruit. Oh, the first is only going before. And then there is much more that is following after. Oh, the children of Israel, they were commanded to rejoice in those first fruits, and to acknowledge the Lord in expectation of all that was to come to follow after it. And so we have, in the resurrection of Christ, the pledge, the sure pledge of the resurrection of his church. Or he is called the head of the body, the head of the body. And the head that is connected to the body. And when that head that has arisen and ascended into heaven, there cannot but be and that the rest of that body is also going to follow. And so we can read that sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. What does John say? He said, blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. And why? He says, on such, the second death has no power. Thus he speaks about a first resurrection and a second resurrection. What does he speak about? Is there going to be then two resurrections on the last day? Not at all. The first resurrection, that is a spiritual resurrection, that is a new birth, that is the giving of that new life. He said, blessed are they that have part in that first resurrection. Why? Because the second death, oh, the second death, not the temporal death, but the final death, the eternal death that has no power over those who are partakers of that first resurrection. What is he saying? Congregation, blessed. Blessed when? When we are born again. Blessed when? When we are regenerated. Blessed when? When we have a new life. Why? Because, oh, when the first is given, everything else is sure to follow. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, to him that hath shall be given. Oh, do we have? Is the beginning right? Oh, have we ever been born again? Do we ever search to see whether this life that has also been given unto us, is it the burden of our heart as we now go over this world, that we are missing the very beginning, that we are missing that new life. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. All that is a power
that gives the right to life. The right to life. It is the power by which a man is justified already in eternity. It is the power by which a man is justified in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that is the power by which man receives also the beginning of life. That is the power by which he is justified in actuality. Justified in that new birth. And that is now the power by which some may also receive that blessed justification in the court of their conscience. Oh, it is the power by which that people receive not only the right to life, not only the beginning of life, but that power by which they receive the continuation of life. That power by which they will be justified publicly before all the ages of the world at that final day of judgment. Power by which they live. They live not only for a time, but for by which they live to all eternity. And then in that immediate presence of him who lives and who reigns forever and forever. Congregation, how much is contained in that blessed resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of man. The life of man which we have forfeited in our father Adam. That is being given by this power as the mediator of his church. Oh, there is so much in that more than we can know and that we can utter. It is the resurrection from the dead. It is a deliverance from our last enemy, from our greatest enemy, from that enemy that we cannot deliver ourselves from. Do you prize your natural life? Do you prize your natural life? Why would you not prize spiritual life? Why would you not prize eternal life? And if you prize spiritual life, and if you prize eternal life, why would you not be ready to despise all the world and to forsake the world in order that you may find it? Job says, though after my flesh, the worm shall destroy this body. He says, yet in my flesh, I shall see God. It was the hope. It was the hope of a blessed resurrection. Although we also have such a hope, such a man has not lived in vain. He has not lived in vain, who may die with such a hope. What does the Lord Jesus say? That he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world, even the same, shall save it. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a word that is brought to the dead, that cannot give ourselves life, but thou usest thy word, and thou hast overcome death. Oh, we ask thee, remember us undeservedly. Look upon us, Lord.
Thou hast given that we may be brought under thy truth. O give also what we need in our soul, that life from the dead. Wilt thou forgive all our sins this day? Bring us safely to our places. Be with us in the week to come. There are those that are traveling. Wilt thou watch over and protect? Bring safely home again at thy appointed time. Spare from all danger, accident, evil, and sin in the home and by the way. But cause us also to feel that we are pilgrims, traveling to our eternal destination. And cause us to seek and find thee. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. 422, stanza 8. Remember, Lord, how frail I am, how few my years. My life is like a cloud, and that comes and disappears. And what follows in stanza 8 to 422. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.